Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 10th, 2012, episode 312, sponsored by Audible.com. Good morning, Horse World.
And
good
I'm
Tuesday morning
to
you.
There we go.
I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. You sound like you're coming through a telephone right now.
Yes, we are. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty this morning, and it was so funny that we're having technical difficulty with my computers this morning because I thought, you know, I forgot to tell everybody my helpful hint and my trick for when something like this happens. Like, you're recording a show with Helena, and all of a sudden you spill an entire glass of water on your MacBook Pro laptop computer.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, so, you know, when you're recording a show and you're spilling a glass of water on your $1,500 MacBook Pro, what's the first thing that you do? I have a piece of advice, and it worked. Well, at least I think it worked. So you unplug everything immediately that's plugged into your laptop, and you turn it over. That is the first thing to do, is turn it over so all the water pours out of it instead of staying pulled in it. And then I didn't have any of those nifty little cans of air, you know, that you get to clean your computers off, because that's the perfect thing to do. You turn it over, and you squirt air up into the keys, and it dries it out immediately, and you're fine. Well, I didn't have that because I didn't have any of those left. They're so darn expensive anyway. So I thought, immediately ran out to the garage, Jennifer wondering what I'm doing, holding on my computer upside down, and you know how a shop vac can suck things in, but it also can be a blower. So I took our shop vac, and I put the hose on the blower side, and I blew it out with the shop vac, and it worked.
Really? So you didn't, like, suck the water up first and then blow air on it? You just went straight to the blower?
You went straight to the blower because it blows the water out of it. Sucking probably would have taken too long. Time is of the essence when this happens, by the way, because if you basically cannot replace a keyboard on a laptop. It's just too expensive. So I saved it, but then this morning we were having internet issues. But I saved my computer.
Well,
there's a helpful hint for those that have that happen to them. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Good to know. I just gripped my coffee cup a little bit tighter while you're telling that story. But
I will tell you, water's a little different than sticky coffee or Coke.
Yeah, probably. I'll tell you, though, what water does not work for, as a reminder, is if you have your hands full while you're walking out to your pool and you decide that, you know, if you've got 3 beers in your left hand and 2 towels and the radio in your right hand, and you've got to put your phone somewhere. So if you decide to stick it in your bikini top, because that's the easiest place to put it, remember to remove it before you jump in the pool, because it was not going to be any amount of blowing water out of it that was going to save my iPhone after it went to the bottom of the pool in my bikini top.
How can you forget your iPhone is in your bikini top?
Well, clearly I'm so well endowed. It just got lost in there. It just got lost in there. That's a joke.
That's funny.
I don't know. I just stuck it in there, and by the it was like 115 degrees out here, and oh, I was just so hot. I set everything down. I just jumped right in, and I got to the bottom of the pool, and the water muted the screams of curse words that came out of my mouth. The water.
That's very funny, very funny. Hey, I'm going to give you the Daily Whinny to do first, and I'm going to try and get back on my microphone here in the studio and off my telephone. We'll see if it works.
All right, well, we'll go to Jennifer now.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, my bad. Jennifer first. Go ahead, Jennifer.
And my Daily Whinny on today's Audible.com Tuesday edition, my Daily Whinny goes to, it's headlines, horror stories, and horsey highlights all morning long. And a little confusion from Glenn. We commence with the collegiate update from our own Stephen Maxwell of Campus Equestrian, and then we carry on to a less than concise review of some horsey headlines found on the interweb. And to wrap the day, Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer will enlighten us with some eye-opening videos and television programs that you can watch at work and keep yourself awake. Stay tuned.
All right.
Thank you.
Well,
am I any better? Can you hear me now?
Oh, that, there you go. That's
right.
You're back.
All right,
sounds good.
Phew. That's a good thing. Well, then I can do this. Sorry about that. My Daily Whinny is an unusual one today because I, for the first time ever in Daily Whinny history, I am giving myself the Daily Whinny.
What?
Right? I am giving it to myself. Yes, I am. Cheers and all. Why am I giving myself the Daily Whinny? Because I pulled one over on Jamie, and that is very difficult to do. So yesterday, Jamie, we were doing the show, and all of a sudden we came up to the Words with Friends update on who was, you know, what was going on with our Words with Friends game. I immediately, because offense is the best defense, started in on you about using the word chi as one of the words because you were adamantly opposed to chi the week before, and you were all of a sudden a chi queen this week. Well, that took your mind off of the fact that you were kicking my butt and you forgot to announce that. So I felt the Daily Whinny for pulling one over on Jamie.
See, but that doesn't change the fact that you're losing big time. Okay, you're losing big time. I'm trying to find the score right here. And by the way, I beat you so you're losing so bad you didn't even play yesterday. What happened?
Oh, I played yesterday, but you didn't respond after that. So actually, I played this morning at about 4 o'clock.
See, but that means you didn't play yesterday because 4 o'clock was today. So keep that in mind. And thanks for playing at 4 o'clock in the morning, because what happened is that it's 2 o'clock here and my phone goes, Glenn the Geek has played the game. And I'm like,
oh.
I don't care at 2 in the morning that you've played the game.
I didn't know that. I'm going to play all the time at about 2 in the morning for you.
Thanks.
That's great.
Thanks. That's awful sweet. Well, I don't think you can give yourself the Daily Whinny for that. You're still losing. Whatever. You just can't come up with anything better. Okay, bye, turn.
I played a good horsey word, though.
I haven't even seen it yet. I don't want to go. My Daily Whinny goes to, well, let me back up. I go out to my front gate yesterday. I go out to check the mail, and UPS has left a package by my front gate, and they just set it right inside. And I look down, and it's this nice box about maybe like 2 feet by 1 foot, you know, a couple inches thick. I take it inside. I mean, it's like a late Christmas present or something. I don't know. I open it up, and the box is from Darlie Newman from Equitrekking. And she sent me a T-shirt for myself and for Chad, and also season 1 2, 3, and 4 of Equitrekking and Season 5 preview of her Emmy Award-winning PBS show, Equitrekking. So thanks, Darlie. Daily Winnie, that gave me the excuse to sit down and do nothing but watch episodes of Equitrekking. All day, commercial-free.
You're going to have to, now you're going to have to dig out that Spain one and let us know how it was when after you watched it.
Well, she sent me, even told me on which episodes to watch for the Spain one. She wrote me a really nice letter. I got her autograph. That's right. I have Darlie's autograph. She signed the letter. And she told me which ones. There's some in season one and some in season four from Spain. So I'm going to totally watch those today. I can't wait. All because if those who don't know, I'm going to Spain in May. Woo-hoo! 2 weeks.
Well, great. I'm glad that she sent that off to you. That's fun. And, you know, we have watched numerous of her episodes, and she, you know, what Victoria said last week is absolutely true. There is nobody, anybody, that's a horse girl in this world that has a better job than her.
No.
Nobody.
Definitely. Chad actually said last night when we were looking through the DVDs, he was like, you know, I would quit my job to be her cameraman.
And that's what her husband did.
Exactly. And I said, well, honey, how about you quit your job to be my cameraman, okay? You don't need to follow Darlie around. You can follow me. If we're going to wish and dream big, we might as well really go for it, you know?
And you know what? He could fly you into the most unusual places, places Darlie's never been.
Not if he quit his job. F-16 ain't coming home with us.
That's funny. So anyway, I see Kate Middleton got all squishy, huh?
I got a good story for you. Now, our listeners gave us mixed reviews about the movie War Horse. And either some really liked it, some didn't like it so much because they thought it was a little too Disney. I find that there was definitely a gender split as far as who liked the movie. And I'm going to give you the men's guide here in a second to War Horse. But first of all, the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton, you know, we talked about her going to the premiere. It was her 30th birthday yesterday. The night before that, she went to Steven Spielberg's premiere of War Horse over in England. And she cried. She cried. Steven Spielberg says that he was sitting next to her, and all I know is, here's the quote, I was sitting next to her, and all I know is at one point my wife, who was sitting to my right in front of my face, she passed the Kleenex went across his face, arrived, and stopped right in Kate Middleton, and he said I couldn't look over because he didn't want to mess up her experience of watching the movie. But yes, Kate Middleton has a heart, as we knew. She's wonderful. And she cried during the movie, so I'm not the only weird one. Every woman cries in this movie, Glenn. Thank you very much.
I do agree with you. I think it's a chick flick war movie. I think there's definitely a gender gap with this movie.
Well, I don't know about that, because I have an article. Let me find out who wrote it here. I have an article from a man named Lewis Whitehall. And this article was posted on Horse Talk, the New Zealand website. And he has written The Male Survivor's Guide to War Horse.
Get up and go to the bathroom halfway through, get another drink, pick up some popcorn. No?
What he says is that, you know, obviously no man wants to go to a chick flick with his girlfriend. They'd rather go to the pub, and then the girl goes into the movie and comes out and meets him at the pub afterwards, right? That's what they want to do. However, he says the average male's difficulty lies with Steven Spielberg's War Horse, because men like shoot 'em up action movies and war movies, and chicks like horse movies. He's like, so this combines both. So every woman is like, oh, my man will go to this movie with me because it's a war movie about horses and everybody wants to go, which I kind of agree with. I mean, it's a horse movie, but it's also war. It's got something for everybody. So, you know, he says that the problem is that the movie is going to jerk some tears. And you can look at it basically in two ways, because either you're going to be heartless and not cry, or you're going to cry and your woman is going to see your softer side. And then he goes on to say, is crying really that big of a deal at the movies? And he's like, yes. You cannot bawl your eyes out over stuff that's not real in his world. He goes on to do a little bit of research. Glenn, this is shocking to me. On average, women cry. Just guess, how many times a year do you think women cry? Give me a real guess, not a
25.
On average, women cry.
So that's 60, like 2 a month, you know?
64 times a year. 64. Ooh. That is more than once a week.
Jennifer, you are definitely not average.
I'm not sure if I should say thank you or not.
Well, I know you don't cry 64 times a year, that's for sure.
How often would you say you cry, Jennifer?
How often would I say I cry? If I count crying from laughter because I have to sit here and listen to you guys every morning, 175 times a year.
No, don't lie. No, how many times do you cry a year?
Three.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
Okay. Now, how many times would you say that Glenn cries a year?
1.5.
Well, it says here in this study that women cry 64 times a year and men cry an average of 17 times a year.
Really?
17 times a year. And then it goes on to say that men mostly cry alone, and most often between 7 and 10 p.m. Now, this is what the problem is, he says, with this movie, is that most Warhorse screenings, when you go to the movies, it's going to be between 7 and 10 at night, and that's your time to most likely cry. So he says, he goes on to say, I want to know on Facebook, though, Jennifer, if you could post this. Women cry 64 times a year on average. Men cry an average of 17 times a year. Where do you rank? Where do you fall in that? Because I'll tell you, I am definitely hitting at least the average. Okay,
oh, you're at about 300 times a year. Are you kidding?
I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm lonely. I cry when I'm with people. I don't know. It's just I have like this amazing ability to just let it flow. Like, Chad gives me a trip to Spain and I cry. And then we're talking to Darlie and I cry. And then I'm telling you, just anything. It doesn't matter. I cry.
I got to tell you, though, I was really close yesterday during the show and when we had those people on at the end for Louisiana. I was really close.
Yeah, and it wasn't even between 7 and 10 p.m. that we had them on.
No.
So. Apparently, the reason men cry is because of a hormone called oxytocin. So you can get that removed, Glenn, if you need to, if you start crying too much. He says a couple things to do is pinch your arm, take a deep breath, stare at the theater floor and count candy that has spilled on the floor. And he said another thing you can do is when you feel like you're going to cry, just start laughing hysterically. People will be mad
at you.
That'll
be popular in the middle of the war movie.
Exactly. The other thing is to realize that this is an actor that lives in a nice house and is making millions of dollars. I don't care if your friend died or whatever it happened in the movie. It's not real. So you have to, like, take yourself out of it. But the study says, the Yale University study says the strongest predictor of happiness is not money, is not fame. It's meaningful social relationships, Glenn. So, you know, as a woman, meaningful social relationships to me would be we would go to the movie and we would cry together. There's nothing wrong with that. So cry over War Horse, men. Cry over it because your woman is just going to be like, oh, my God, he cried during the movie. He cried. He's so sensitive. I want to go home and make out with him.
The problem is I would have had to pinch myself to get myself to cry during the movie.
Really?
I really didn't.
Come on. There was a part during that movie you said at the end when there was an old man.
Oh, that was the one part.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have a heart of stone if you are not crying during War Horse. When he calls the horse, there's a thing going on, and then the other thing, and then the horse comes up to them, and he has to wipe the dirt off the legs, and then he's like, "Dad, see, can't take it. I can't even talk about it. I start crying."
No, I'm just, I know I was reading some of the reviews from England because, of course, it just premiered there, and the reviewers got to, and it a lot of them agreed with me, and a lot of them agreed with you. It's pretty much half and half, and when I really went and looked closely at the reviews, there was a male-female divide right there.
Really?
This is really a chick flick. This is bordering on Black Beauty, which I would never go to see in the first place, but it's bordering on Black Beauty. It's sort of deceiving. What Steven Spielberg did was they deceived men into going into a chick flick. That's really a big deception is what it was. Because he did Saving Private Ryan, which is a guy's movie. That's a guy's movie. That's a movie we go and cry at. And then he throws out this movie, which we all like horses, and we think, oh, it's a war movie with horses, so we'll go and see it. And he deceived us. He just deceived us. It's all his fault.
Well, you can just take it up with him. I'm just telling you that it was more popular with the men, I think, over in Europe, because this guy said that, you know, it could have made him cry. He didn't know. I mean, in giving the excuses, like, I'm sorry, I'm not crying because of the movie. I'm crying because I have an overabundance of oxytocin, and it's between 7 and 10 p.m., and the average male cries 17 times a year. Just whatever excuse you need, that's fine, Glenn. Just, you know, don't let. Jennifer, have you gone and seen it yet?
I have not gone and seen it yet.
I think for the good of the show, you're going to have to go see it.
Oh, I don't think she's going to see it.
Why? Why won't you go see it? Because you're heartless and you don't want to cry? Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Did you only cry exactly 3 times a year and you don't want to use them up?
I'm actually a Terminator from the future. And if
you
I
don't
go
cry,
see it, I'll self-destruct.
I'm a cyborg. Seriously, though, why won't you go? Why won't you go see it?
This doesn't hold any appeal at all. I'm like, okay, you know, kid loses horse, kid gets horse back, kid chases horse around the countryside, shoot, bang, crash. Sorry. You asked.
Wow. Wow. Didn't see that one coming. All right.
You asked. You pushed it.
Yeah, I just,
you know,
I can't believe that a horsewoman doesn't want to go see a horse movie. It's just, yeah.
But it's not
a horse movie.
Right. It's not a horse movie.
Yes, it is. It's a, what do you mean it's not a horse movie? It's a, the main character in the movie is a horse. That's a horse movie.
No, you know what's so funny, though? One of the reviews I said, anybody who saw the movie, I'm not giving anything away here. The one review I saw said that the horse is not the one in this movie who should win an Emmy. It's the goose. And I had to laugh at that.
Right.
The goose was very funny.
See, it's just animals. All right, well, let's move on. I know that you have a news story that you've been dying to tell everybody and talk a little bit about the irresponsibility of one town called Castle Rock, right?
Oh. You remember a while back we had a horse. By the way, there were 3 rescue stories in the news today. What is it with the horses and people? So Castle Rock, Colorado, there was a horse that ended up falling through, I don't know, one of those doors to the basement or whatever, and ended up in the people's basement. Remember, we had the picture of the horse standing down there in this finished basement, and they had to cut a hole in the doorway to get the horse back out. Well,
yeah.
This is also Castle Rock. Another horse fell into a pool, just about froze to death. They got the horse back out. Everything's fine. But then there were 2 others, one that was sort of normal in our rescue stories that we've had here, and it was got stuck in a fast-flowing river. You know, that's fairly normal. The Shire got stuck in a fast-flowing river, and they managed to dig it out. That was over in Europe. But then there was this unusual one, also from Colorado. Loveland firefighters and other rescuers had to peel away a trailer to save a horse after the trailer broke loose and wrecked in traffic. The trailer was being towed in the Big Thompson Canyon on Saturday when the trailer broke loose and raced down a hill, hitting a car and pinning the horse inside. That's not one you hear very often where the trailer becomes completely detached from the truck. That doesn't happen too often.
Where were their safety chains?
Exactly.
I mean, what had to go wrong for your entire trailer to come unhooked?
Now, I've had a trailer. I told you this story before. We were actually hauling furniture at the time. We had a two-horse trailer hooked to bumper hitch, and the entire hitch, the welds gave loose from the bottom of the truck. And so the trailer was still attached to the hitch, which was attached by a thread to the truck, and it started bouncing violently. And then the hitch actually became detached from the truck, and the thing that saved the trailer was the chain. We managed to get it stopped before the chains broke. So that those chains are there for a reason, and they do work. It also kept the trailer from hitting the hitch of the trailer from hitting the ground, because the chains, if you crisscross them, act as a stopper there. So I don't know how this happened. You know, we couldn't find any more. I tried to look up more information on this to see if there was any more information about how the truck and trailer separated ways. But then you think about it. They're in Colorado, and your trailer becomes detached while you're going through a place called Big Thompson Canyon. That can't be good. You know what those drop-offs are like.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it's not like, welcome to World of Flat Cornfield.
Exactly. Your trailer just didn't go over and get stuck in the dirt in the cornfield. No, this is Big Thompson Canyon. You've driven through Colorado. You know what some of those canyons, there's like 5,000-foot drops off the side of the road.
Oh, my God. I know. No kidding.
So when it says it raced down a hill, it doesn't exactly say what size hill. You know, a hill in Colorado is like a mountain to us.
So was the horse, were horses in it? Were they okay? What happened?
Yeah, it looks like they had to cut the trailer apart, and they managed to save the horse. So that's all the information I have is that they did save the horse and because they had to cut the trailer apart, basically, to get it out. So
good deal.
I'm going to look for one of the funniest pictures that we have, and I know I've told you about this before. I don't know if I mentioned it on the air. But talking about horses getting stuck and doing stupid things, this was one of our cows actually. We went out one morning, and one of our cows had an entire window frame around his neck. He had put his head through the little shed that was there, and when he went to back up, he took the entire window and window frame out with him. And he was walking around the field with this window frame around his neck. And we have an old picture of that I can scan in that I'm going to have to find because it was the funniest thing. Cow was fine. But it was hilarious watching him walk around with an entire window frame wrapped around his neck.
Did he break the window or was it like a window, like glass? Like
I don't
glass
know. I don't remember that part. It's like 20 years ago. I don't remember whether I know he didn't get cut or anything, so it mustn't have been too bad. But, yeah. So cows do stupid things, too.
Oh, boy. Nice. Well, it just seems a little bit weird to have all these rescue stories in the same week.
Yes, I agree. This was the same day. Usually we'll get two or three a week. I had three in one day. Like, people, check your fence. Make sure your horses are staying in their field. Check on that. We had a sad story over here. I don't know if I told you about it. Just down the road here on Georgetown Road and Kearney Road, which is the place where we keep our horse, there is. I learned more about the story on Saturday night. There was three horses that are in a field there, and a house that was been up for sale, and the horses apparently got out. Car comes along. They're standing in the middle of the road, comes over the hill, hits one of the horses. The two people in the car, the couple in the car, ended up in the hospital, and the one horse died. Well, they come to find out the horses had been abandoned by the people who rented the farm. They just left and left the horses in the field. And after they did more research, they discovered the horses hadn't had water for a period of time. And, you know, they had food because they were eating the grass, but they hadn't had water for a period of time. And They're trying to find the renters so that they can charge them with abandonment and neglect. And what a sad story.
That Hey, Glenn, I got to let you know that I would like to say that as far as us with our listeners, I am not alone. I am going to celebrate being above average. And I'm celebrating it with some of my friends. My friend Emma Stansfield, she says she cries a lot more than average, and she also cries every time she watches animal rescue programs. Girl, I am with you, okay? Nancy Clark says, I can cry over TV ads. Do you know how many times I have picked up the phone and almost dialed that last number when Sarah McLachlan, in the arms of the angels, and they're showing all the homeless animals, and they're living in a cage, and it's a pit bull that needs help, and then there's a kitten who's sitting there, and they're like, they have nothing but abuse in their life, please send $2,700 a month, and I'm like, okay, just, here's my credit card, take it all. Come on. In that commercial, you have to cry every time. So Miko says she cries at least 64 times a year. And I said, cheers to all of us being above average. Robert Dunn, he did say that he was a sap and he still doesn't cry 17 times a year. But I would like
to Stark
County. Stark County, we should ask our first guest, Steve, how often he cries a year. Because, again, Steve, the average time for a man to cry is 17 times a year. How do you fit in with that?
Are you asking me that right now?
Right now. Just let me, to be honest.
I would say last year, I don't think I cried at all. I'm saving up. I'm going to have, like, a real meltdown in the future. It'll be, like, a couple of years' worth. I'll have, like... But 17 times 2, I have like 34 in one big, it'll go on for a while.
He wants to make his pool saltwater, so he's saving them all up and he can just
when I have changed the water in my fish tank, I usually get supermarket water. It's better than the tap water. So I'll just do this. I'll just save up for the big cry when I do the next change of the fish tank water.
Gross. Okay, well, I think he's picking on me a little bit there. But, yeah, whatever. I don't care. I can take it. Because the average woman cries 64 times a year, you just might get one right now because you're going to make me feel fat. No, just kidding.
Oh, Jamie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to turn on the waterworks.
Steve Maxwell with Campus Equestrian at campusequestrian.com and comes on and does our collegiate report. Now, Steve may not cry 17 times a year, but he goes to all these college horse shows. I guarantee you he sees 17 girls crying in one day every time he goes.
I think they're a little more constrained than that. I'd say 8 or 9. I think they hide it well.
Control.
They're very careful to make it. They don't want to advertise it, I think.
I know. We're just picking. We're picking here today. Well, Steve, welcome to the show. We're here to get our monthly collegiate report. Of course, we're in the heart of college season here. So what's going on? What's new? And what's happened since we talked to you last?
Well, there's actually sort of a doldrums where we can say we're in the heart of the season because we're in the middle, but there really aren't any shows from, I'd say, the first weekend in December, there are some shows, and then it cuts off, and you'll see people pick up in the middle of January. I know you're very interested in the Varsity. I'll be very upfront. They had their last shows before Thanksgiving, and they will start up again the last weekend in January. I'll get to that in a moment. The IHSA, they will have their first show anywhere nationwide. This coming weekend, they'll have at least a couple in the state of Michigan, and it's pretty fascinating. It's one of the best, the only place where you really have a great Western team race and a great English team race going on are in the state of Michigan. That region, by pure chance, is made up of all the schools in the state of Michigan, plus the University of Western Ontario competes in that region as well. And you have five teams, this is very unusual, five teams separated by 10 points in the 100-seat team competition going into a pair of shows this weekend, hosted by Michigan State University. There will still be one other English show in February in that same region. But literally you have five teams, Grand Valley State University ahead by 2 points over Western Michigan University. Then Albion College is two behind Western Michigan. The University of Michigan, which won the region a year ago, they are five behind Albion, and Ferris State University is a point behind Michigan. So from 160 points to 150 separates five teams, four of which have never won a English region title and taken a team to the postseason. So there are four teams very, very excited. Well, actually five. Michigan's very excited as well. They want to repeat. They're very much alive. But that's a very unusual situation that's going to be make for a very good weekend this weekend if you're there. And up at should tell you where that show is. I believe it's at Willowbrook Farm in the town of Plymouth, Michigan, that Saturday and Sunday, Michigan State hosting those shows. But that's very unusual to have a close – to have that many teams this late in the season bunched together in any of the IHSA's 36 regions.
So what you're saying is there's no crying going on in Michigan right now.
Very little. They will. I mean, boy, somebody's going to be really sobbing. Although, in a lot of cases, I don't think they will because a lot of these teams have never done this well. Ferris State's never been in the race this late in the season, so they're I think just happy to be in the race.
Right.
I think Grand Valley State, they've been getting better and better the last few years. They probably, I mean, they're ahead right now. They want to get their first English region title ever. Grand Valley State is ahead in the Western by 17 points over Michigan State, and Grand Valley State this weekend will take part in what is supposed to be the final Western shows. They're on the same day but different location this Sunday. Michigan State, coincidentally the host, but it's on the Michigan State campus at their pavilion. Really wonderful place to watch a horse show. It's a big indoor heated exhibition center. It's got stands on one side, East Lansing. They'll have a double Western show this Sunday, and that will end the regular season. I mean, the first season, English or Western for the IHSA, the first English or Western region to be done with their regular seasons when their Western shows are completed on Sunday.
Well,
and probably Michigan State will probably, since they're in their own building, I would assume Michigan State has a chance to rally on Grand Valley because they are in their own building, Grand Valley up by 17 points, 172-155. So it should be interesting.
I'll tell you what, Steve, if you're going to pick a school and you're going to school in Michigan, and I want to be in the horse program, I'm going to pick one that has the heated indoor.
Well, there might be other heated indoors, but they don't always. Michigan State, for Western of late, they've used that facility. I went to a weekend where they did an English show on a Saturday and a double Western show on a Sunday back in 2008 at the Michigan State University Pavilion. And it is a great place, but they don't practice there. That's a more of a facility that's used. It's multipurpose. When you get to have a show there, it's very convenient, absolutely. They do get that.
Because it gets chilly up there.
It does, but they adjust to it. In fact, the fact that they even have shows at this time of year is a testament to how many people on these Michigan schools are from Michigan. That's why they schedule shows in January. A lot of schools are off right now for winter break, but because so many people on the teams within Michigan live in Michigan, they usually schedule some shows right in the middle of January, and everybody's there. It's great.
Now, tell me about, I had read on your website about the Tournament of Champions series. What's
yes.
that?
That is a series that just turned 12. It has actually turned 19, but it was the 20th year of the series. What it is, the IHSA normally has competitions where people compete throughout the regular season in their own geographic area. I just talked about what's called Zone 6 Region 4. That's all of Michigan and very far west Ontario. For an example, there is a region that's in the New York metropolitan area that's northern New Jersey and the area north of New York City, but a separate region takes up all of the city itself plus Long Island, New York. There's a region that encompasses everywhere from the greater Los Angeles area out to Phoenix, and that's a specific area. Those teams face each other all year during the regular season. The point is you don't get to see people in the other regions except at invitationals or in the postseason. So these these invitational shows give teams who are first place in the different regions a chance to fight against each other head-to-head, sort of like a national competition. And the recent Tournament of Champions Holiday Invitational in the town of Long Valley, New Jersey, was hosted by Centenary College, which is right nearby. They hosted it there, and the Centenary had the top team, unsurprisingly, the defending national champion. They scored 37 points, and they won Mount Holyoke College, very good program, gave them a good run for their money. They were second with 35, and Delaware Valley College, which is not in Delaware, they're in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Their program is getting better and better, and the last year they made it to nationals, didn't have the best showing at nationals. They won a class. That's how they got all seven of their points at nationals. They were third at this competition with 31 points. This gives them a top three showing at each of their last four appearances at a Tournament of Champions event. So when you get all these region leaders together, Delaware Valley has been doing very well because they're treated like a mini nationals in a way. And some teams that are going to win their region won't make it to nationals, but they are at these tournament shows. So it's quite entertaining.
Now, the tournament shows work the same way. They're riding
the same IHSA rules. They're unknown horses. It's a random draw.
Okay.
They go in the same divisions. You'll have the eight different levels. You only have one rider in each of the divisions, unlike a regular season show where usually there are multiple people in each division from the same school. The school has enough people to cover multiple people in each division, whereas in the at the Tournament of Champions, for the most part, they occasionally allow schools to take two teams, which means you have 16 riders instead of eight in the competition.
Now, as with any of the associations, there's always rule changes that come about that cause some controversy at the beginning of the year. Was there any of that going on in the collegiate world this year?
Not that I know of. Nothing really. It was actually pretty boring along those lines. People have the same rules as a year ago, pretty much. Nothing that caused too much alarm anywhere that I know of. People going out and showing.
Now, I do have to ask you, because helmets have been a big, you know, a big discussion here. Are they required to wear helmets on the English side, not the Western side? Are they required to wear helmets everywhere? What's the story on the
Very, very interesting. Within the IHSA, all Hunter Seat riders wear the approved ASTM helmets, and they have since the beginning of the 2002-2003 season. That's mandatory. The IHSA Western riders do not wear helmets. They wear the traditional, I would say they resemble a cowboy hat or a cowgirl hat, if I had to say anything. I do know that within the varsity competitions, in some places they are required to wear an ASTM helmet for the Western. So you will have a varsity competition I can't say it's everywhere, but in some places you will see people dressed from the neck down in the Western regalia, and they're wearing an ASTM-approved helmet instead of a hat, a traditional cowboy hat, cowgirl hat, on their heads at varsity competitions, although there are some varsity competitions where the Western riders still do wear the traditional Western hats.
Okay, I was curious about that, and with the push for helmets, we'll probably see a change in that over a period of time.
Eventually, I think, for safety purposes, absolutely.
And insurance purposes for the college.
Yeah, I agree with you that Yes.
All right, great. Anything else?
Well, I will. I know that you like to talk about the varsity, and I did do a little research, and the most recent poll was done back at the beginning of December because they knew they'd be done with the 14 varsity teams for a while. And I know that we talked previously about my preseason. I said Texas A&M, and I believe a lot of people felt that Auburn is the favorite. Auburn has been ranked number one the majority of the time. Auburn is 6-1. They lost one match to Georgia. Texas A&M is ranked second. They're 7-1. They lost at Baylor in their final appearance before the winter break. And Baylor has trended upward. They're now up to fourth because they're 5-1. Georgia is 6-1. They're third at the rankings. Georgia's one loss is to Texas A&M. And Georgia has the only win that Auburn only lost for Auburn. Then you have a Kansas State team. This is very interesting. They're 2-4 ostensibly. But they're ranked fifth because their four losses are to Baylor, Georgia, Texas A&M, and Auburn, the four teams that are ranked above them. So strength of schedule got them a fifth-place ranking at the moment.
Yeah. And I know Jamie's over there going, yes, Georgia. I know.
I didn't know Jamie. I was worried about – I don't want Jamie to turn on the waterworks here and start crying and be one of the 64 times a year. Yeah, you always sound so happy. You must cry. It must be a personal
thing. Oh, she's cried on this show about once a week since we started.
Really? Not when I've been on the air, thankfully. I'll keep you smiling.
It's just happy cry. It's happy cry here on the show, you know.
Oh, okay. All right, well,
I have to
make you cry somehow. I have to like, talk about something that like does turn on the waterworks. I'll remember. Then I make Glenn cry in a different way. I'm not sure if this is a good thing or bad.
Just tell Glenn he can't eat for one day and he'll cry.
Oh, that'd be it. That would do it. Me and Robert both. I bet you we're both in the same boat there.
I'm going to write that down. I'll use that weapon when necessary.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you one question.
Sure.
I'm not a huge football fan, but my husband was watching the football game last night in between New Orleans and Alabama. Please tell me that New Orleans has a team that is doing a little bit better than their football team, because it was absolutely terrible last night.
Wasn't that LSU? Was that LSU that was shut out?
Yeah.
21-0?
LSU. How's their team?
Well, that's a football team. You've got to talk to a football expert. I'm the IHSA and the...
No, I think what she's asking is how their football team stinks, or at least wasn't very good last night. So how is their equestrian team?
Yeah,
she is a question. It's funny you should mention that. They do have a good team. In fact, they are a surprise leader in the punter seat standings within the IHSA Zone 7 Region 2. Normally, West Texas A&M is leading in that region, and so I guess that's a compensation. The football team may have been shut out last night, but they do have an equestrian team that, quite honestly, the three shows that they were in were at West Texas A&M. And LSU emerged. They really had a great third show. They scored like 43 of a possible 49 points and left Canyon, Texas, with a 102-94 lead over West Texas A&M. And they don't have to go back there until the postseason.
Right.
I don't even think they have to go back there at all this fall or this spring.
So what I'm hearing is we need to get these football players on horses, and they'll feel a little bit better about themselves.
Or either that, or get the horsewomen into the cleats or into the padded jerseys and helmets, and have them throw the ball.
They'd have played better than them last night. Oh, Steve, thank you very much for coming on and putting up with us again.
You're always fun putting up with you. And now I know what to say to Glenn if he pushes my buttons.
Don't threaten my food. CampusEquestrian.com. That's where you'll find all the information that you need to know about the world of the IHS. See, I can't say that word. That's why I always go to Bart.
IHSA, and I'm picking up on the IEA as well. And that's going to be getting bigger soon. You'll see.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. Have a great day.
You too, Glenn. You too, Jamie.
Bye, Steve.
Of course. This half hour is brought to you by FindTheJudge.com. If you're planning to do a horse show this year at your farm, no matter what the size, whether it's just a little schooling show or whether it's a bigger show, doesn't matter what kind of show you're planning to do, if you need to find a judge, and Jennifer and I, we had planned some shows for Pony Club years ago, and that was pre-internet in the old days, and it was very difficult to come up with judges. You had to talk and give referrals and call a bunch of people. Now it's so much easier with FindTheJudge.com. It's the free resource. You just go there and you go, okay, I want to find a judge in my area for my little show. And it'll tell you what the judges are rated for. It'll give you the information about where they're at. It's just a really cool resource that you'll want to check out if you're planning to do a little show. It's now become the online directory of horse show staff. And I think it has more than just judges, doesn't it, Jamie? It also has the staff that you're going to need for a horse show or list there.
And I was going to ask, have you actually put your name in the running for, you should actually sign up and say you're a horse show announcer, because you are.
I know, I did one show now. I'm experienced.
And you will host award banquets. So
that's right.
You know what you're doing. Horseshow.com. Everybody go check it out. Yeah, you and Robert going to host all this stuff. Well, good.
FindAJudge.com.
There you go.
All right,
go.
I have a
what
song for you today. We're talking Western today and a little bit of Trish Lynn and This Cowboy's Mine.
Cowboy's Mind, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Audible.com. Now, Glenn, this Friday is going to be something a little bit special for you at least, because I don't get to go, but you get to go do something cool. Tell everybody you're going to be doing.
I'm heading over to Kentucky Performance Products. I'll be broadcasting from their offices and warehouse over in Versailles, Kentucky. Beautiful place, Versailles. Right down the street from the Woodford distillery, which is where they make Woodford bourbon. So I'll be right down the street from that, not too far. I might just head over there after. Maybe Karen and I will head over there for lunch. We can go over to the Woodford distillery for lunch. But we're going to be doing the show from there live. You'll still be on. We'll just be doing a normal show, except I'll be over there, and we'll hear a little bit more about their products. And they're giving something, they have a new product out that we're going to hear about. and they're giving a bucket of that new product, which is probably about $100 value, and they're giving that as a prize for really bad ads on Friday. So get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for Friday's show, and you'll win some great Kentucky Performance product stuff. And I'll see what else I can dig up for the winner while I'm over there.
Well, hey, are we allowed to know what the magic new supplement is, or are you going to keep it a secret?
Yeah, I think they're calling it Nalox Plus, and what Nalox is a very popular product that she has had that's always been that's worked for the gut. Well, Nalox Plus now also adds ingredients that helps with the hindgut. So we're going to hear about that in a little bit more in detail, a little more than I know about that. But it really helps the overall digestive system instead of just one part of it now. So Nalox has always been a very, very, very popular product, and I think this Nalox Plus is going to even be more popular than that.
Gotcha.
So we're going to be giving away some of that on Friday from Kentucky Performance Products in Versailles, Kentucky.
Hey, it's that time again, Glenn. It is that time for me to enter another horse trial. I tried to print out my order, my forms yesterday to send them off to enter my first ever horse trial in California. I'm going to compete in California.
Where at?
Galway Downs is having a horse trial. It is the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of February. So the first weekend in February. I'm going to go. Not this weekend, but the next, they're going to do a schooling there. So I'm going to take my brand new horse trailer, throw my horse in the back, and we're going to camp out, first time camping out in the new trailer, and head to there. And then 2 weeks later is the horse trial. So I'm readying my entries today.
And that's the end of this month?
That it'll be the first weekend in February is the actual competition.
It's so weird to hear somebody talk about going to a competition the first weekend of February. When you live in the North, that just doesn't happen.
That's true, but this is Southern California, baby. You've got to love it.
And you're going to sleep in your new camper. I sure hope that's a better experience than when you used to sleep in your truck.
Well, you know, all you have to do, women, let me give you a little piece of advice. Besides the crying to get what you want, all you have to do is make your husband participate in whatever activity that you're participating in and just make it miserable for him. So we go up to Coconino, which is Flagstaff, where it's at 7,000 feet. It's higher than Denver in Flagstaff. And I am currently living in the one I used to have or still have, but my other horse trailer was a 2-horse straight load with a dressing room, and it was a gooseneck. So of course, in this tiny little dressing room, I had stuck a mattress up in the gooseneck. I don't even know how we got it in the door. And then you basically have all your horse show stuff piled in there. And when you climb off the bed, you try not to step on something that will then flip over and spill. You have barely any room. And then I would cram 3 dogs in there and 3 dogs and me in this horse trailer. I've been doing this for years. I've been living like that for years, and it's totally fine for me. But then you get married, and you throw a husband in that mix, and you get a new trailer.
Either that or you stay in a hotel. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Jennifer can tell you that that's exactly the way it was when we met. She was all happy sleeping in the car or the back of the truck or whatever. But when I came along, ain't no way. But now, however, we stayed in a few hotels that the back of the truck would have been nicer, probably. I will say that.
Yeah, exactly. And I like staying close to the horses, so I've always been totally fine sleeping in this trailer. Well, when you're in Flagstaff at 7,000 feet, it gets down to like 30 degrees, 20 degrees, 15 degrees in the middle of the night. Yeah, that's not okay with me. When the only piece of your body that is sticking out from under the covers and massive pile of blankets is the tip of your nose, and then it freezes off, you can feel it, then it's time to get a hotel room or a new trailer. So we did that, and I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. We'll be anxious to hear how the new trailer goes. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. considering the only time I've driven it so far, I had a blowout. So hopefully it'll get better. Well, we've got our next guest on the line, and it's Victoria Spicer. She is the web editor for Horse and Country TV, and she is on every week with us to talk to us a little bit about what's going on across the pond. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. How are you both?
We're great. Doing better good. Than you, it sounds like.
Yes, I have a cold. I was complaining, but I'm here. I've made it.
Well, I've gotten better about saying good morning to you because it's clearly not morning over there. It's middle of the day. So how is everything over there in England?
It's good, and it's a lovely day today, and it feels like Christmas never happened. We're straight back into lots of news and lots happening in the horse world. And this week on Horse and Country, the big story's been all about these pre-Olympic sales. There was a huge flurry of them just at the end of the year, and Britain has ended up with three of our top horses going to be competed by foreign riders. So a bit of a mixed week for Britain.
So this is you've got the what competitions are starting over there, because we were just talking about the fact that it's awful cold here. Are these indoor horse shows?
Oh, this is basically in the run-up to the Olympic Games. There is the deadline of 31st of December, and it's all been about these horses that have changed hands. So we haven't seen them out being competed yet with their new riders, but there's been a flurry of sales. So not too much going on the competition side at the moment.
And what is everybody's opinion of these horses changing hands so quickly? Because I know that it's like, I mean, there's got to be people hating out there because, oh, they just bought. You hear about it in every discipline at every level. Oh, they just bought her that horse. She didn't earn it. She didn't teach him. That happens all the time, right?
Definitely. And I think, actually, we've been quite fortunate in Britain that we do have a good string of horses at the moment. And we've had problems in the past where we haven't had that strength and depth in the side. And so when we lose a top horse, it's a massive blow. Whereas now, with our show jumping side especially, which is where we've lost these three top horses, I think we do have a really good pool to choose from. So there is some disappointment, but we're still feeling positive that we've got lots of good horses left for the team. And you do have to sympathise with, you can never tell what's going to happen with horses, and they can be injured or they can lose form. And if you've got a couple who are in with getting a chance to go to the Olympics, you won't be riding them both. And so if you get an offer, it's quite hard to say no sometimes. So I can see both sides, but it must be frustrating for the riders who produce them and work hard only to see them go and be sold to a rider from a different country.
Oh, absolutely. And can you imagine the stab of you sitting on the sidelines for the Olympics and seeing your horse out there running across? Oh, that would be heartbreaking.
Definitely. And one of the huge rumours that was going around just around the time of our big competition at Olympia was that Carl Hester's ride Utopia had been sold. And he's obviously one of the favourites to medal at the Olympic Games. And we'd heard all these rumours and we hoped very much that it would transpire not to be true. And I think offers were made for the horse, but fortunately nothing went through before the Olympic deadline, and so Carl Hester has hung on to the ride for now. So hopefully he'll be on board come London this summer.
Well, I mean, they passed the deadline, so it's not like the horse can be sold for that purpose, so it sounds like he might be able to keep it.
Fingers crossed. It would be so sad after poor Carl working so hard with him and getting this once-in-a-lifetime horse. And if you lost the ride now, it would just be utterly devastating.
Oh, without a doubt. So tell us about your blog of the week, because I was just looking at it and reading it before the show, and it's quite entertaining, and he's got a job offer out there.
Yes, this is our blogger of the week, who is called Jay Hallam. He is an event rider who also turns his hand to a bit of show jumping and eventing. And he came down to Olympia for a week, and we're friends with Jay, and he came, and he was lots of fun and kind of sat with us and gave us insider views all through all the competition. And he had a brilliant week at Olympia. And then at the end of the week, he went back home to find that both of his grooms were injured. And then he ended up doing all the mucking out and hurting his wrist in the meantime. So poor Jay's had a bit of a up and down festive period.
Yeah, he sure has. He's got on this blog, if anybody who wants to be a groom or wants a groom's position, or anybody who wants to sponsor me with a brand new horse box, please call. I'm sure that'll
yes.
happen.
It was interesting what you were saying about trailers and what you can have when you get married, because Jay shares a yard with his partner, Spencer, who's a dressage rider. And Spencer has a lovely lorry with luxury living and pop-out sides, and it's really, really smart. And so Jay and him share it most of the time, but sometimes Spencer takes it off to shows and Jay has to have his old lorry, which I think he's had for quite a long time. So I think he'd quite like a luxury lorry of his own.
Yeah, there's something about driving up to a horse show and being that guy with the oldest
yeah.
trailer. I mean, and that's currently what my other one was, is just, I mean, they'd see me coming and be like, oh, my God, what is she driving? It's like something from really bad ads. So, yeah, I could see that, and definitely a little bit of jealousy. So what else is going on there, Victoria?
On our site, we put up a really fun news story this afternoon, actually, about horse agility. I don't know if you've heard of that over in America, but it is a bit like dog agility, but with horses instead. So that's just gone up on our news story. So do head over to that.
And I looked at that, and I was trying to think, okay, what kind of horses do horse agility? And not the kind that you would think. Like in dog agility, you've got the border collies, and you've got all these different kinds of, like, really athletic horses, and they've got fat ponies doing it.
Yes, little ponies. It's very sweet. We've also got a video of horse agility on our website, and you can see it's done a little bit of a slower pace than dog agility. It's all about kind of the obedience and the relaxed manner in which they go through this obstacle course. So it's not quite about going around as fast as possible. I don't think there's any danger of the horses jumping off before the kind of yellow target area that they have to hit in dog agility. So it's a little bit slower, but it's quite sweet. And the story that we've covered today on the site is about the new world champion, who is this little Exmoor pony, who is also a showing champion and is a stallion, so doing covering duties. So it's quite an amazing little pony, and it's worth going to see what horse agility is all about.
You guys, I think, started that too, horse agility over in Europe, and there's a group we had her on last year about this time, I think. Called Horse Agility USA, and there's a group here that's really trying to get horse agility on the map. And I know that they were using quarter horses and some bigger horses, but I know that you guys had started it, it really became popular over there.
Yes, I mean, it's still quite new over here, and I think they are trying to build up awareness about it. And I think it's quite a nice sport for people, you know, who maybe don't want to set the dressage world alight or go off around cross-country, but just want to do something that's a bit more based on the relationship they have with their horse and having some fun and not taking it all too seriously. So I think it's something that people can take part in if they're not aiming for the Olympics, shall we say.
And probably if you can teach your horse to jump through flaming hoops and do everything the horse agility people do without a rider on, they'd probably be pretty good at it with a rider on, too.
Yes, definitely. Worth a try.
Now, Victoria, I was also looking at your website, and, you know, I don't know if you know this, but my husband and I got two dogs. I mean, it's been about a year ago now, and they're both about a year old, and they are demons. They need help more than you can imagine as far as in the training capacity. I even bought those little, like, shock collars, and not once but twice the dog has chewed the remote to that, that I have hit it. Twice now. Chewed up the whole button shocking thing system, and it's not even a shock collar, it's a beep collar, so it just beeps. And he has chewed it up and destroyed it. But I noticed that on your website there is a whole video about dog training. And I started watching it, and there are, like, Okay, cute puppy alert, ladies. Cute puppy alert. Go to horseandcountry.tv, and they're training all these little puppies. Who is this? Tell us more.
It's our dog expert, Howard Kirby. He works with gun dogs, so does a lot of that kind of training. But he's done a really nice video for us just about the basics of getting started with your dog. So what you need to put in place and what equipment you need. And as you say, the most gorgeous puppy. I've watched it about 6 times already just because I'm slightly in love with her. I'd quite like to dog nap her. She's gorgeous. So do go and have a check about that, whether you're interested in dog training or if you just want to admire the sweet puppy. And Howard's going to be doing a series of videos for the website, so definitely watch this one and we'll update when there's new ones available.
Yeah, it's pretty stinking cute, and there's actually in the beginning a whole lot of different ones. Oh, so cute puppies. You forget that your dogs were puppies once. And then what else is going on the channel over there before we wrap things up?
Well, this week in Britain, we've got our Getting to Greenwich series, which is almost at the end. We've got episode 7 this week with show jumper Peter Charles. He's been part of Olympic teams before. He's won the Hickstead Derby and various top classes. So it's really interesting to look at him and his career and how he got to the top. So that's going to be on at various times all week. And we're also showing the FEI World Cup dressage and show jumping from Mechelen in Belgium today. So do go and have a look at that.
Everybody that is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Meanwhile, in the US, if you're watching over there, we've got a couple of shows on HRTV this week, including A Ride in Middle England, which is about these two guys who go off exploring Britain on horseback. And we've also got some polo action, so well worth a watch. And if you head to hrtv.com, you can find out the listings.
I'm so jealous. My neighbor gets HRTV, and so she's now started recording things so I can come over and watch them. It's just not fair. But obviously, that is on Sky 280 in the UK and HRTV here in the United States. Everybody check it out. You can find all these videos and just plenty of stuff to kill time at work on horseandcountry.tv. That's horseandcountry.tv. And, of course, as always, Victoria Spicer, thank you very much for coming on, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Get better, Victoria. Get rid of that cold.
Vitamin C.
Good plan.
Bye. So they get colds in England, too, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, they probably still get sick over there. I did have to laugh. You know, my neighbor's like so brags about the fact that she has HRTV on her television. Like, I hear about
it
all the time.
Does she have a satellite? Or?
Yeah, she's got the other satellite dish or something. I don't know which one it is, but all I know is it's not the one I have. So she's like, oh, did you see the whole thing about Auchin on HRTV? And I'm like, we've been over this. You know I don't have HRTV. She's like, well, I recorded
it.
Bad
English accent.
Go back. Huh?
Does she speak with a bad English accent, your neighbor? Just checking.
Pretty much. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me in my head. She really probably just talks normal, but
well,
I don't
speaking
like her.
Of what something sounds like in Jamie's head, for the first time this year, the Fair Treatment of Gophers Coalition has checked in. And this is the message to Jamie. The coalition would like to wish everyone a happy new year and encourage you to go fur your dream. If you ever get to Arizona, stop by and visit.
Oh, my God. That is the worst pet pun I've ever heard.
Go fur your dream.
You know what's funny is that it has become such a routine for me every single day. Oh, I've tried something new now, too, I got to tell you about. It's such a daily ritual for me to go out there and to use my little thing where I try to put poison into the middle of their tunnels and go out there. My hands are pretty much bruised all the time from pushing down into the dirt, this big spiky thing. Well, I realized yesterday that I'm like, they haven't been talking to me. I haven't heard from the Gopher Coalition in so long. And boom, today, here it is. I think I missed them.
What happened? Oh, the coalition. Yeah. I don't know where. They must have been on vacation. They must have been burrowing more tunnels at your house or something.
Well, here's the new magic trick that I have found, and you're going to think I'm ridiculous. You probably already do. I've been reading online different ways to kill the gophers and wipe out the entire gopher coalition population all at once. And, you know, I've tried the smoke bombs. I'm trying this little poison thing. I've tried everything. My neighbor is making chemical bombs out of pool chlorine and using those underground.
doesn't sound safe.
It just can't be, especially when there's like a big ball of smoke that is chlorine burning. It just can't be good for anybody. So what I've started doing is trying a happier way by sticking candy down into their holes. One particular candy I have read online works very well in stopping the gophers, and that is Juicy Fruit. And
okay, I will say we had heard of that one before, and we have moles in our yard, and we tried that, and I can't tell you that it actually worked. But you know what? In the long, you're looking at staying this farm for a long time. Okay, so if nothing else, Jamie, if they eat enough of the Juicy Fruit gum, their teeth are going to eventually rot out, and they're going to starve.
Well, the only kind that I've had and I can find of the regular Juicy Fruit is the sugar-free little Chiclet tablets. Are those going to work, or do you have
you're really supposed to use the sticks of the sticky the sticks that you unwrap. Yeah, that's what you're really supposed
really?
To
do. Really? Okay,
yeah.
Well, now I'm really screwing up because I'm putting sugar-free sugar-free Juicy Fruit down into things. And the way that it's supposed to work is apparently they love the gum and they eat the gum and then they cannot digest the gum. And so it's like having an impaction colic that kills them. This is all horrible to talk about, but I'm so tired of these gophers that I'll do anything. I even planted a garden in the front of my house and they have taken over the garden. Everything's dying. Everything.
There's so many funny websites, too, when you look around on the Internet. I found one the other day about the gophers. And one of them was titled, this article was titled, Don't Let the Gophers Laugh at You. And it made me laugh because that's what the gophers are doing with Jamie. They're just laughing at her. They're just laughing at her. And this is their solutions. One of them was drown them, which you've tried, not worked so well. Blow them up. That's the one I've been telling you to do with your husband, but nobody wants to do that. Apparently. Nobody took my idea of putting C4 all through their tunnels and just blowing them up. Gas them. You know, gas them. You tried that. That didn't work so well. Or double their pleasure. Have you heard the one about the gopher who ate Juicy Fruit gum and wished he hadn't? It's true. There are people everywhere who swear it works. They put a stick of gum, double mint and spearmint are also on the menu, in a gopher tunnel. When he eats the gum, it is supposed to get stuck in his intestines, and then that's the last thing he eats. He gets cramps, I guess. It's not a bad arrangement. It just hasn't been proven to work. Many agricultural agencies try to dissuade homeowners from expecting success with this. And then he goes on to say, but then the government probably isn't ready to start experiments on this until they finish the cow methane gas in the pasture set. There's no harm in trying, so if you're inclined, buy a big pack of Juicy Fruit. One word of caution. If the critter is getting real close to the new fruit tree or rose bush, don't rely completely on that before you know it works for your gophers. Employ a guaranteed method and do your trials on the non-critical areas. There you go.
Now, see, I'm reading this, and it tells me that I'm supposed to purchase several sticks of Juicy Fruit gum in any flavor. And it says it's easiest to buy the gum that comes in the sticks. You're supposed to put on plastic gloves and remove the foil from the sticks and then drop all of them into, like, one hole 7 to 10 days. Wait 7 to 10 days for the reappearance of the gophers. If they're still there, consider alternative methods. Thanks very much. Okay, now here's another one is how to kill gophers with dry ice. So you're supposed to put on heavy insulated gloves and pick the dry ice and wear protective eye goggles, break into the hole, drop the dry ice in there, and just wait till the carbon dioxide to sink down into the cold. you know, the holes, cutting off the oxygen supply. This is actually the last sentence of this. Cutting off the oxygen supply for the gophers and gently sending them to sleep forever.
Mwahahahahahahah. Oh, the Gopher Coalition is listening. If you refresh your Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, you'll see that they have a picture there of a mighty fat gopher, and it says, "Thanks for the candy, Jamie." And then a second picture that has a picture of a really ugly, I think it's a beaver, actually, and it says, "Got the number for a good dentist?"
Okay. That top one is what the gophers in my yard look like. The bottom one is
really? Pink
and cute. And yeah, the top one is what they look like. The bottom one.
It's good to have the Gopher Coalition back again. Adds a little levity to the program.
Mhm. Yeah, they're hideous. They're hideous, and again, my dogs are so confused why there's guinea pigs in the house and we're trying to kill the gophers outside. They are so frustrated.
Yeah. I did a post on Facebook to change the subject off of gophers here for a minute, and I wanted to know, is there anybody else that gets driven absolutely nuts by hay nets? Is that just a horse husband thing that we are physically and mentally incapable of opening up the hay net, somehow shoving flakes of hay into it without total frustration taking over, and then hanging the hay net the proper way so it doesn't hang to the floor and they don't trip and break their leg in it? Why is that such a difficult task? Is it just me?
What kind of hay net are you using?
You know, the typical white kind with all the little holes, the braided kind, and, you know, the rope kind. You know, the typical kind of hay net.
Oh, those are horrible. Those are horrible. You got to get the, like, hay bag.
Jennifer loves those things. She loves them. And I keep telling her that they just frustrate the hell out of me. I wonder how many people even use hay nets anymore, or are people just lazy and throw it on the floor now? I don't know. What do you think? Do you use hay nets?
In the stalls, absolutely not. No, the only time I use hay nets, and I have transferred from hay nets to hay bags, which are these things that hang up, and basically only in the horse trailer. Only in the horse trailer, because I find hay nets, like the kind you're talking about, number one, they're annoying. Number two, they're in my opinion, quite dangerous, because I've had a horse that pawed when she ate and got her foot stuck in the hay net and stood on three legs for until I found her. So I don't think that I'm a big fan of the hay nets that you're talking about.
And apparently the men out there are not either, because Rick has chiped in that he's not a big fan, and Robert chiped in that the hay nets are designed to make people crazy. See, so I'm not the only one. I'm feeling better about this now.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about them either. So do you?
Jennifer has always. You've always liked hay nets, Jennifer. Why is that?
It's in self-defense. I don't have to sift all the, you know, you don't throw away all the hay, because they walk around their hay and they smoosh it into the bedding and it takes forever to clean it, and then you have to throw it away and it's wasteful.
That is true.
That means you're feeding them too much.
Well, no, see, that's where I disagree.
See, there's lots of horses that eat their hay really slowly, and actually, we have a couple at the barn that are older and they don't like the hay so much, so they do spread it all over the entire stall, and it is a pain to clean them.
Yes, it is.
That is true. But I'm all for those hay bag things. I really am. They look much simpler for us horse husbands out there.
No drawstrings, much better.
Yeah.
You know what I just got, because I had the hay bags where you know the circle is cut out, you slide the one or two flakes in there, and then you hang it up, and it's the hay bag, and the horses reach in and grab that. Well, that was great until I got a new trailer that didn't have a place where you could dump grain, because the only way that Jet will load and stand still is if he has grain right in front of him that keeps him busy enough for me to jump out of the trailer, go around, put the bumper up, and close the door. So he has to have something enticing enough to make him stand still. I'm sure that I am not the only one who has a horse that does that. Your horse gets in the trailer and then backs out. By the time you've gotten out, because, I load my horses by myself all the time. So you go and get the horse in there. You have to have something to keep him busy. Regular old hay is not going to cut the mustard. So I got the coolest hay bag ever, and I'll try to find a picture of it online, or Jennifer, maybe you can. It's a hay net with the hay bag with the circle cut out, and there's like a fold-out shelf underneath it to dump grain in.
Yeah, it's got a little grain pocket.
Yes, it's the greatest thing. I bought three for my three-horse trailer because now all my horses can run in and eat grain while I put in the close in the slide things and then push over, you know, I don't even know what, the partitions, the dividers I have to put in. So those, to me, are the greatest hay nests ever. Hay bags.
And I did see Aubrey has checked in and said we use small hole hay nets to soak hay for our pony, and that's what we use the hay nets for that, too. You can't really use the bag ones to soak hay. And she says the trick is to use a muck bucket and then line it like a trash can with the net. But the problem with that is the muck bucket's always full from cleaning the stall. Usually when I go to put the hay in, I got to go empty the muck bucket. It's like extra work. See, do I sound like a horse husband now or what?
Well, Aubrey, that's a really good idea. Do you throw the hay into the muck bucket, then put the thing over underneath the, like a trash bag, and then flip it over?
No. You put the hay net into the empty muck bucket. You put the hay in the hay net, and then you just pull the string up.
Oh. So well, I like my way better.
And we'll just end on this. It cracked me up. The Gopher Coalition is chiming in with one more thing today, and they say, we stay in good shape going to the neighbors to watch HRTV because our hosts are too cheap to add it to our
Okay, that's funny. Enjoy your HRTV down at stupid neighbor's house with their stupid HRTV. I'm just going to sit over here and crush your stupid little holes, stupid gophers.
On that note, have a great day, everyone. Don't forget you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We appreciate you listening. Tell all your friends. Post it on your Facebook page. Let's keep those numbers rising. We're almost at 4,000, and we'd love to get there in January. So keep telling your friends about us. We hope they listen and enjoy it as much as you do. Thank you, Jamie. Have a great day. Hey, gophers, have fun today in Jamie's yard.
I hate you so much, gophers. I hate you all. Everybody, please have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld. Bye.
Dig a new tunnel for me.
I'm going to get them. Juicy fruits with sugar today.